the European settlers were invaders. By settling in Tennessee, the immigrants were violating the English Proclamation of 1763, which denied Americans and immigrants the right to build settlements west of the Appalachian Mountains. As the years passed, Cherokee rights to their own land would diminish. As an adult, Andrew Jackson would play a role in the loss of that territory. It was a generation which knew tragedy. Andrew Jackson was fatherless within 3 weeks of his birth, following the death of the senior Andrew Jackson, who died in an accident when he was 29 years old. Possibly, Andrew Jackson entered the world during the time that his mother was returning home after the burial of his father. But he did not grow up in isolation, as there were numerous Jackson relatives in the area, as it was home to many farmers of Scots-Irish heritage. The family was poor, and education was not a priority during hard times. His mother had hopes that her young son would become a Presbyterian minister when he was old enough to choose a career, but she must have had to accept the fact that Andrew, with his volatile nature and eagerness to fight, was not destined for the clergy. Andrew was tall, lean, and agile, with red hair and the freckles that go with them, as well as what would become his legendary temper. He was quick, even as a boy, to resort to violence to solve a problem. Throughout his life, he resorted to action rather than thought with a fearless energy to do what needed to be done. The American Revolution was in its final years by the time Jackson joined the local militia as a courier at the age of 13. He was captured, along with his brother Robert, by the British when the army headed south and invaded the Carolinas in 1781. Brother Hugh, the eldest of the Jackson sons, had also joined the American cause, perishing at the Battle of Stono Ferry from heatstroke. The temper that would rule Andrew Jackson throughout his life was just as fierce in his youth. When a British officer ordered the boy to polish the redcoat's boots, Jackson refused. The officer used his sword on Jackson, cutting a gash into his face that sliced the skin all the way to the bone, leaving him with a scar for the rest of his life, as a permanent reminder of his reason for hating the British. While prisoners of the British, both brothers contracted smallpox. During their captivity, the surviving brothers were nearly starved. A prisoner exchange, arranged by their mother, Elizabeth Jackson, released Robert and Andrew from the tender ministrations of the British. The boys had to travel 45 miles to get back home, a journey that they made in pouring rain. Robert died 2 days after they arrived home. Andrew survived, but his recovery took time. Elizabeth Jackson, believing that Robert would recover, had gone to Charleston to do her part for the American war effort by taking care of the soldiers who had been wounded. But she died of cholera soon after son Robert's death, leaving Jackson an orphan at age 14. The hardships which he and his family endured left him with a virulent antipathy toward the British, an emotion which would come to the fore again when he was an adult fighting the former foe in the War of 1812. For Jackson, the price of American liberty came at a great cost. His uncles took him in when he was left without a mother or brothers. Jackson inherited a small bequest from his grandfather in Ireland, but the money didn't last long. For a time, Jackson made a living as a schoolteacher, although his education had been limited and his affinity for study minimal. Mostly self-taught, as several others in the presidential office would be, most notably Abraham Lincoln, Jackson read the Bible, and as an adult was fond of reading newspapers and the classics. When he was 17, he began the study of law, apprenticing with local lawyers in Salisbury, North Carolina. 3 years later, he received a license to practice law in the North Carolina backcountry. Money was tight, and Jackson worked in the general store to supplement his income. As a 6-foot-tall redhead, Jackson stood out in a crowd, but his personality always garnered attention. He enjoyed dancing and gambling, and was no stranger to good times in local taverns. Before long, he had attracted the interest of people of influence. John McNary, who was a friend and a mentor, was elected a Superior Court judge of the North Carolina Western District. The territory extended from the Mississippi River to the Appalachian Mountains. McNary, needing a representative of the law in the frontier area, chose Jackson. By age 21, Jackson was the prosecuting attorney west of the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina, in what is now Tennessee. His practice did well enough for him to move to Nashville the next year. The bulk of his practice was debt collection, disputed land claims, and assault charges, but he was very successful at it,